Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association.
Adam Toporek is a customer experience strategist and founder of CTS Service Solutions, a consultancy that provides organizations with real-world, customer-centric solutions through workshops and training. He is the author of the Customers That Stick blog and the book Be Your Customer's Hero, published by Amicom, a division of the American Management Association. Adam, welcome to Edgewise. Let's just get started here, and I'm going to hit you hard with a two-part question, okay? A lot has been written about today's changing customer. What are some of the specific changes that have occurred over the past decade? And also, what do frontline professionals need to know to succeed with this type of customer?
Well, first of all, thanks so much for having me, Dave. The obvious short answer is interconnectivity is what's really changed. And of course, everyone is talking about that nowadays. And a lot of focus is on how that affects organizations due to the voice of the customer being expanded and that type of thing. But few are talking about how it affects customers from the service perspective, how it affects them mentally, how our devices are keeping us always on. Now, in the book, I actually have a chapter called Everyone is Rushed, Everyone is Stressed. And it's about customer mentality and trying to understand how customers are different nowadays. And one of the things we focus on is digital distraction. And one study of college students that found a direct correlation between how much they used their mobile devices and how anxious they felt. Now you say, okay, well maybe not everybody's glued to their device like a college student. But another study found that the average person switches between devices 21 times an hour. Now, if you don't think that adds to your customer stress, if you don't think that diminishes a customer's ability to be in the moment, then you probably don't have a smartphone for one thing. And the point is, for customer-facing pros, there's this baseline pressure that almost every customer has before they walk in the door. Even the people who really aren't that busy feel this way. But if you have a high-pressure job or you're a single working parent or you have a lot of responsibilities, this just adds to it. So you've got a whole group of customers now that are just sort of tired and hassled. You know, they're tired of the grind, they're tired of filling out another form, they're tired of 30 pages of fine print and deciding whether to read it or just let the company get away with it. So they're tired of being hassled and giving companies money in exchange for frustration instead of problem solving. Now the good part is there's a tremendous opportunity in this. So if you can be the company that makes life easier or hassle-free, you can stand out and create experiences that make customers want to come back. Now, to answer your second question, what do frontline professionals need to know to succeed with these customers? You know, they need to know the different skills required. They need to know the different communication techniques that help interact with customers. And they need to know what they are and are not empowered to do for the customer. But most of all, we talked about that stressed out customer. They need to understand how important it is to make the customer's day just easier and better. They need to remember, you know, that they're a customer too and how frustrated they get when they have to spend 25 minutes to get a $5 refund. And I think if frontline services can just sort of begin from that place that we're there to serve the customer, they can really develop the mindset that will propel them to making a difference in their customer's day.
All right, so how has this new breed of customer affected how organizations, you know, prepare, train, skill up, whatever, their customer service organizations?
So how long is this podcast? You know, there's so many things at the organizational level, so let's just touch on a few. The first is by looking at processes. You know, there's a term I use that's called rule accretion. And rule accretion is what happens to every organization over time. You know, you have a rule, it builds upon another rule. You know, somebody messed up a shipment in 1987, and now we have a checklist to make sure that never happens again. Somebody gave a customer too big a refund once, and now every refund requires a manager's signature. And in the end, over time, you end up with this book full of rules, many of which are outdated and detrimental to the organization's mission. So you have to look at your processes and make sure they're still relevant today. Because the more layers, the more forms and triplicate, the more TPS reports there are, all of these disconnect your frontline team from the customers. And they all take away valuable time from helping customers. Now, look, we live in a world of documentation. I even talk about the importance of documentation in Be Your Customer's Hero. We live in a world of litigation risk, of, you know, a tax code the size of the Empire State Building. So in the real world, there are always going to be things we have to do to protect the organization. The key is to make sure that each process is necessary and to get rid of all those sort of legacy processes that no longer serve a purpose.
All right. So what prevents even the most sincere and the most well-intentioned customer-facing or, you know, frontline company professional from delivering on that superior service?
Well, you know, we sort of touched on that external factor just now, those rules and processes and things that get in the way of, you know, the people on the front lines delivering superior service. So let's talk about the internal factor. And that almost always boils down to the service professional's own mindset. You know, actually in the book, Mentality and Psychology Are So Important, I put the entire first part of the book all about that. Because you got to get inside the head of customer service reps, and they have to be able to get inside their own head. Now, as organizational leaders, you know, we have to remember that these professionals, they aren't robots. They are human beings, and human psychology just is complex. Now, that's sort of an obvious statement, but that message does get lost at the upper levels of organizations. I mean, we have to remember, customer service reps are like everyone else. I mean, they have pride. They have these emotional triggers. They have a desire to win. And all these sort of natural inclinations and reactions can truly hamper how they perform at customer service. I know we have a lot to get to today, so let's just focus on one of the biggest mindset challenges there is, which happens to be one of the more straightforward for leaders to solve. And that's the relationship between competence and confidence. You know, in every area of life, these two things go hand in hand, right? The more competent you are, the more confident you are. So a lot of times on the front lines, this may be their first job or it may be their first time working directly with customers in this type of environment. So we can't just assume they'll be good at customer service. You know, have they had customer service training before? Was that training relevant to this position? Now, granted, you're going to get lucky sometimes. Some people have natural people skills. But those will only take them so far. In the end, to be a customer hero, you've got to have training. You've got to develop that competence. Now, you know, I've actually owned a few retail service businesses, and I'm here in the Orlando area. So being in Orlando, we've obviously had the theme parks, and we have an entire subset of the labor pool that has experience working at the parks. So one of the things that was always like a leg up for an applicant when they were applying for a job with us was experience at Disney. Why? Because we know Disney's customer service is legendary. We know their training is best in class. So we know that if they worked for Disney, they were taught a customer-centric attitude and solid customer service skills. So it wasn't the only ingredient we would look for in an applicant. It wasn't a guarantee they'd be a great employee, but it was an immediate indication that they were coming into the job with a baseline of competence. And more than anything, if people can have competence and communication and how to handle situations, in product or service knowledge, they're going to feel more confident when working with customers.
Now, you mentioned this idea of changing your mindset. It seems like that's one of those things that's always easy to talk about, but it's much more difficult to put into practice, especially when you've got an upset customer online or on the phone. What advice do you have that would make, you know, service providers feel more confident in these high-stress situations?
Well, yeah, there are a lot of techniques for doing this, but we'll touch on a few. And the first one, and it's the hardest one of all, it's try not to get emotional. And when you do have emotions, which you're going to, because you're human, try to manage the emotions you do have. As hard as it can be, you know, detach yourself from those emotions of the moment. Remember that it's just a job. You know, it is not personal. And more important, remember that you're not responsible for how your customer feels. The next one is try to use a mental trick. You know, if somebody's really angry or yelling at you, actually picture them in a funny or awkward situation. Now, some people recommend some inappropriate ones. Mine are PG. So, you know, picture them in a pasta-eating contest, you know, with, like, pasta coming out of their face. Or imagine them shrieking and screaming because there's a spider on their arm. Anything you can do to change your state and your perception of them in that moment, it makes them less threatening. Now, the key is, of course, if you use these tricks, make sure not to laugh because they're already upset. Now, finally, you have to remember that anger is a chemical response. True anger is chemically based. So if you're feeling it, you have those chemicals running through your body, and the customer is definitely feeling it. And, you know, once that adrenaline is coursing through somebody's veins, you have to really work to de-escalate it and not exacerbate it. And you have to realize that it's not going to just go away because you said one thing. It, you know, it's almost like a drug or alcohol. It takes time physically for it to process out of a customer's system. And this is why one of the most powerful techniques I teach in the book is letting upset customers, you know, quote unquote, punch themselves out. Let them talk through their anger and use it as an opportunity to really hear what is bothering them. and then you allow them time for that sort of natural fight or flight reaction to subside.
Mm-hmm. So just let the teacup empty out.
Exactly.
Now, managers and organizational leaders aren't the ones dealing with the customers face-to-face, okay? They're not the ones who are online. They're not the ones who are on the phone. What should they know in order to support their customer-facing reps in delivering what would be termed a memorable customer experience?
Yeah, there's so many things that are important. Empowerment is important. The processes, which we mentioned, are important. How the rest of the organization creates customer expectations that frontline reps have to actually confront is important. But most important of all is giving them the training they need. You know, we talked a few minutes ago about competence leading to confidence. So how do you develop that competence? If you think about it, the expectations we put on customer service reps is unrealistic. We expect them to be under this great pressure. You know, they might be being yelled at, cussed at, bullied. And not only to manage that stress, but to behave exactly how we expect them to behave. And it's not easy to do. And I got to tell you, as a small business owner, I've missed the mark on this issue myself. You know, think about astronauts. The way they're trained is amazing. You know, trainers in the space program, they specialize in creating just a host of bad scenarios for astronauts to act out over and over and over. And each simulation, you know, gets more elaborate and gets more difficult. They practice engine trouble, lots of oxygen, an explosion, whatever. And they work through these scenarios for years and years. And they tear it apart. They look at it from every angle. And the result is they reprogram their natural instincts. So when something does happen, they can manage their natural fear response and respond unemotionally and by working on the problem. Now, obviously, spaceflight is what we'll call a different business model from what most of us do, right? We don't have the luxury of training our staff for a few years, you know, for an event that lasts a few months. We're training them for an environment in which they are interacting in real time almost immediately after being hired. And particularly on the front lines, most organizations have very little pre-training and only modest on-the-job training. So I'm not saying to be like NASA. However, the principles NASA uses are instructive. The more you drill in practice, the more you are exposed to stress and training, the more you can depend on your reaction to be the right one in the real world. And that's why in our training, I'm a big fan of role-playing, because the more you can simulate, the more scenarios a frontline rep has seen in practice, the more competent they'll become. And the funny thing about competent and confident is it's a sort of self-reinforcing circle. And the one feeds the other until they become great at customer service.
And finally, just concluding here, what does it mean to be a customer's hero in real-world terms, and why does this matter?
Well, first, you've got to sort of forget everything you've read about over-the-top acts of service, the kind of things that go viral on the internet. You know, forget about airlines that buy an entire flight full of passengers' holiday gifts. These are publicity stunts. They're not customer service. And I explain this because, you know, the word hero is sort of a lofty term. And while I love it while companies do these outrageous things for customers, that isn't real-world day-to-day service. Being your customer's hero is much more basic, and in the end, it's much more powerful. To be the customer's hero means one thing above all else. It means being there when the customer needs you and making your personal interaction with the customer as memorably positive as possible. So when you are your customer's hero, you are creating great customer experiences. And great customer experiences are crucial to any firm, particularly those in competitive environments. Why is customer experience important? You know, in the customer service, customer experience industry, they actually say customer experience is the new marketing. And what that means is that the internet and so-called word of mouth, the experiences you give customers, positive or negative, will be what other consumers hear about you. And so research has borne this out. You know, companies who effectively manage and execute customer experience strategies reap enormous rewards. They achieve higher customer satisfaction, reduced churn, increased revenue, greater employee satisfaction. They actually did one study, Dave, where they asked 860 corporate executives who had increased their investment in customer experience, and they found higher customer referral rates and higher customer satisfaction. So it simply works out. Great customer experiences, or hero class customer experiences, as we like to call them, simply leads to a better bottom line. And finally, creating hero class customer experiences is a form of competitive advantage and differentiation. Customers want more nowadays, and they expect more, and they want emotional connections with the companies they deal with. If you can create those bonds through managing your customer's experience, With an effective, motivated, and trained frontline staff, you will always keep your customers coming back for more.
We've been speaking to Adam Toporek. He is the author of Be Your Customer's Hero, published by Amacom, a division of the American Management Association. Adam, really cool stuff. Thanks for being with us today.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, Dave.
AMA webinars provide 90 minutes of focused how-to instruction and specific solutions for solving your most pressing work issues. For $149, you'll participate in an in-depth course taught by an expert who will answer your questions and guide you through the process a step at a time. For a complete schedule of upcoming AMA webinars, visit our events calendar at amanet.org/events. Here at the AMA, we value your feedback. If you've ever attended any of our webcasts, webinars, or seminars, you've no doubt encountered our feedback surveys. Well, our podcasts are no different. You can either email us at podcast@amanet.org or call 800-697-3406. Your comments may become part of a future program. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.